somehow made it to the Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem podcast.
Or M Cubed for short. I'm Sam, and she's Paige. Join our crazy train, and let's talk about murder!
You know, every time Hayden can't find her hairbrush in the morning, I say, Alexa, play Where's My Hairbrush by Larry the Cucumber. And she gets so, she gets so mad at me. Mom, that's not helping. And I sing it, Where is my hairbrush? And she's like, oh, and she just like walks off.
Amazing.
She gets so mad. So next time she comes over, just start singing it.
I will. And okay. She'll be mad at me too. Good times.
She'll be like,
yeah. Okay.
Jolly Jane.
So, this lovely woman is named Jolly Jane Topin. Topin? I'm going to go Topin. It's probably wrong. She essentially had two different personalities. So, like, she had the very professional personality where everybody fucking loved her. She was just this wonderful woman. Just did all these lovely things. And then the other half of her was, like, heavy drinking, foul-mouthed, you know, independent woman kind of thing.
To, like, bipolar?
Yeah, pretty much. But she could control it to an extent.
Oh, that's
so
great.
When she was working, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
When she wasn't, all bets were off.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, in the last case, I talked about the victims and things a little bit more. In this one, I couldn't find enough about all the victims because there was a shit ton. And it was in the 1800s. And so not a whole lot could be said about the victims. And we don't actually know how many people she actually killed.
Probably far more than what we know.
A shit ton more. I'll get into it, but it could be 12, it could be 31, or it could be over 100. Because, you know, those numbers are really close and really hard to figure out, right?
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. It's said that she aspired to have killed more people than any other man or woman who has ever lived and who will live.
Right. Yeah.
Has or will live.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Yeah, that didn't come out properly.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Pick it up. So, a little bit about Miss Jolly Jane. I'll get into why she's called Jolly Jane.
JJ.
JJ. Jolly Jane was born in 1854.
Okay.
Her birth name was actually Nora or Nora? Depending on which source you look at. It's either Nora Kelly or Anora Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Her family had immigrated from Ireland and there were four children total. There's nothing on two of them, but I know what happened to her and at least one other sibling.
Okay.
So Nora was the youngest of all of them, and her mother had died when she was only a year old. So it was left to Peter Kelly, their father, to raise these four children. At the time, being Irish was essentially a crime, like in all job applications and things like that. It was clearly written, no Irish need apply. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was. So, he was a tailor. I'm not sure, like, how well his business was doing, but since he was Irish, you could probably infer. His nickname was Kelly the Crack, like Crackpot, because they said that he was crazy. At one point, it was rumored that he had a massive breakdown and sewed his own eyelid shut.
Holy shit.
And he had four kids.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's also rumored that he was an abusive alcoholic, which also wasn't that great for having four kids.
So he has no money.
No money.
He's crazy.
Absolutely.
And what money he has, he spends it on alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 1863, Peter Kelly took two of his children, so Nora and Delia to an orphanage called the Boston Female Asylum.
Oh, that's menacing.
It does sound menacing, doesn't it? I couldn't find anything about the two other kids at all. Like, there was nothing. It's like, hey, he took these two kids here, so maybe they were older, like, much older, and
yeah,
maybe were able to work or something. I don't know. This orphanage held over 100 children at a time. And the only thing I could find out about records, any records that talked about the Kelly children, in their file it was written that they came from a bad home. I don't know how you go about looking up 1800s records.
Yeah.
But there was, in all the sources that I looked at, there was
nothing.
No.
Okay.
So after a while, Nora was adopted by Anne C. Tobin. She was a widow and had one child. Apparently, the reason for adoption wasn't to take care of a child that had no one and to raise them and love them as their own. No, it was so she could become an indentured servant.
Cinderella.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it was. So when she was adopted, her name was changed from Nora to Jane Tobin. And this is because having an Irish child in your home didn't look very good on you.
So she only adopted Jane, not the other child?
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Jane was the only one that was adopted out of the two. And there are some accounts that the other sister went into sex work or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, her mom passed away.
Her mom passed away when she was one.
Her dad is a raging drunk maniac who gave her away and her sister. And then now she's been taken in as a servant. Taken away from her sister again.
Yep.
So she had, like, she's alone. Okay, that's awful.
So, you know, there's times to feel sorry for the kid, but then when they grow up to do the horrific things, like, you know, it's a little hard to feel bad for them at that point.
At this point, knowing everything that she's done. That's really hard life to start out with, though, you know?
It is.
Like, she doesn't stand a chance.
No. Well, she could have if these people who adopted her
were good people,
been, like, more loving toward her. And honestly, they weren't, like, abusive or anything like that. They just didn't treat her like an adopted kid that they chose to bring in because they loved them.
They just wanted her to sweep the floors and
pretty much
wash the dishes and clean the shit out of the toilet bowls.
When she was adopted, her name was changed to Jane Tobin.
Okay.
And was passed off as an Italian girl whose parents died at sea. Because, again, Irish, not great.
Fun fact.
Yes.
I read somewhere, I can't remember what it was. It probably was TikTok, but I'm going to say that I read it. That Irish people, whenever, like, they talk about Irish people have, like, red hair and blue eyes, really, way back then, they didn't. They had, like, dark hair and dark eyes.
Really?
Yeah, so her having dark hair and dark eyes makes sense, and they're going to pass her off as Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so she was passed off as an Italian girl whose parents died at sea. Obviously, such a well-respected family couldn't have an Irish child in their home.
Right.
She had one foster sister. Her name was Elizabeth. And they seemed to get along okay. Like, but it was very obvious that she was not part of the family. Jane wasn't. So it was kind of a constant reminder of, look what we're doing for you. We are raising you. We are doing these things for you because you could be over here. You could be poor. You could be doing this. So it's just real fucked up, just constantly reminding her where she came from. And not being like, oh, you're part of the family. I love you.
Right. Like, you should be grateful you get to scrub our toilets.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I don't know why she would be upset about having to scrub people's toilets.
It was the 1800s, so.
That's true. It was probably like a normal thing. Sorry. So Jane was allowed to attend school, and by all accounts, she did well. She was able to make friends, and everybody seemed to like her. She would tell these great elaborate stories, and everybody ate it up. She would tell people that her father was a sailor that traveled the world. Her sister was married to a noble Englishman, and then there was some weird thing about her brother she didn't have, being some, like, war hero or something. So
she would disassociate herself.
Absolutely. Okay. That's kind of funny, because, like, in my notes here, I was like, I kind of want to point out that this whole elaborate story thing isn't really that far-fetched, because she was abandoned by her father, she was an Irish girl pretending to be an Italian, mm-hmm. and she was living with this crazy aristocratic family that just wanted her to work. Mm-hmm. But apparently that wasn't fantastic that she was telling these stories, because eventually it kind of got her into trouble. I didn't specify what kind of trouble, just, like, she had many talkings to. She had a great many lectures.
Scoldings.
So many scoldings. So, I mean, if I were her, I'd probably be inventing a new life, too.
Yes.
Be like, you know what?
I disassociate all the time.
Me too.
That's what actually, I'm logged into your Kindle. It's like the way it is.
Listen, I'm not read any books like that in a minute. I need to get back into my smut reading.
Me too. Into your smut reading.
Into my smut reading. Oh, Lord. So, it was said that she was great with kids and would babysit frequently. So the article that I was reading irritated the fuck out of me, because it said at this point, I'm assuming her school years, she got unattractively fat.
Oh.
And, you know, everybody's body is different.
I mean, she does look like a bigger woman in that picture. Like, you can, but, like, it looks like she's, like, not big, but she's, not but like she's just obese. Like, yeah, not obese, she's but she's just like
a taller,
yeah,
thicker woman. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
She kind of reminds me of, now that I'm thinking of it. Yeah, Encanto.
Oh, yeah,
Louisa. Yeah, she kind of,
yeah,
I mean, not a lot, but that's what she kind of reminds
that's
me
like the kind that. Of could, build.
Yes, the yeah. build, yeah, okay, which Miss Trunchbolt was all on that built. It's true, but that
also, she looks like it in that one picture, though.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm gonna have to save that picture so I can upload it.
Okay. But anyways, yes, that is uncalled for.
Exceedingly. I love my notes. Fucking asshats. Probably Tiny Dick Man talking about a woman's weight.
Exactly! No, but that is so... Yes. Yeah.
Tiny Dick Man in every episode. Telling you. This is gonna happen. Anyway, when Jane turned 18, she graduated from Lowell High School. Mm-hmm. And at this time, Anne Topin, the adopted mother, freed her of her indentured servitude and gave her $50. She could have gone anywhere, but she chose to stay and work for the family. And that worked out pretty well for her. Like, she didn't have to worry about, sounds terrible, but taking care of herself as an independent woman. Because at that time, in the 1800s, you needed to have a man to have a job to take care of you.
Right.
She stayed there and everything was fine, for the most part, I guess. But when Anne died, her daughter Elizabeth took over managing the home. And Jane and Elizabeth had seemed to have a better relationship than Anne and Jane.
And Elizabeth's the sister.
Yes.
Or sister.
Adoptive sister.
Okay.
So Jane stayed a little bit longer until Elizabeth got married to a church deacon. And I'll talk about him in a little bit. So at that point, she chose to stay. Sorry. No. At that point, she chose to leave the only home she had known for about 20 years.
Because the only person that she really cared about left.
Right. Well, she definitely did. No. Elizabeth took over the home when Anne died. Because Anne was a widow. So her family money was taking care of the home.
Oh, okay. I missed that step.
Sorry. I didn't point that out.
Okay, I'll do that now. Okay.
So, Anne died, and she was a widow.
Okay.
So, I guess family money was taking care of the home, mm-hmm. and she wasn't working. Uh-huh. So, Elizabeth took over managing the home, and whenever Elizabeth got engaged and married to this church deacon, Jane was like, I've had enough. So, she decided to leave.
Okay. Now, I got you now.
Yeah, I'll work on that whole, like, connecting the dots a little bit.
No, you're good.
So, it didn't specify why she left, but I have a feeling it has to do with Elizabeth marrying someone, because in Jane's mind, actually in every female's mind back then, it was, if I'm of age, I should have a husband, and I should have have children and a home to look after and all of that stuff.
Yes.
So, when she was 33, she began training as a nurse at Cambridge Hospital. This is where she got the name Jolly Jane. So, apparently she was a very bubbly, wonderful person to work with, at least initially.
I mean, definitely her pictures
do not scream bubbly.
They look so bubbly. They exude bubbles.
No.
Bubbles. No bubbles. They exude it.
No. No. You're so full of shit. She looks like a woman that I wouldn't want to be my nurse because she would scare the fuck out of me.
I mean, Miss Trunchbold. Yeah. You don't think that she was just a bowl full of laughs?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
We watched a different movie, I guess.
our trauma's different. That's what that is.
You didn't think that whenever she launched the pigtail girl across
the track fence, and field style?
Like, you didn't think that was a fun time?
No.
Oh.
I thought that was,
Or the chokey?
I thought that was abuse.
You didn't want to get in the chokey?
Fuck no.
Oh. Dang, we are different. Sam, I like it a little rough. I'm sorry.
Apparently. Oh, God.
Okay, I'm sorry. We have, like, gotten so far off track so many times.
So, apparently she was this wonderful, bubbly, friendly person to work with. She did her little fun, extravagant stories, and everybody fucking loved it. But, again, like I said at the very beginning, she had two different personalities. So, there were certain people that didn't really like her and her bubbliness and her stories, and they just kind of got old.
Like, it annoyed them?
It annoyed the piss out of them.
Okay.
So, she would have a negative reaction to them as well, I guess. No, I didn't talk about them, like, having fights or anything like that, but she was a gossip, and she loved bringing other people down sometimes, especially the ones that she didn't like.
So, do you think she was a narcissist, too, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
You'll get a better feel for it later on.
Because she's, like, thinks that she's holier than now.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I'm getting narcissist vibes now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is odd because she's also, like, maybe because she was put down so much as a kid that now that she has her own freedom, she's like, you're not as good as this. Like,
yeah. Or, nothing. Yeah. She like, I was.
Put them under her feet. Her toes instead of.
Like, I was thinking she was never in control before, like, when she was, like, she was never in control of her life. Now, she's in control, and she can control whoever the hell she wants.
And she fucking will.
Yes.
She really fucking will.
Okay. I like the psychology part of all this. It's, like, anyways, keep going.
Okay, so, I'm gonna say she likes to bring other people down. If someone got kicked from the program, which happened, you know, it's a nursing program, she would celebrate. And so that was, I don't know, that seems like a real dick move to me.
Yeah.
Because they're just other women trying to get their shit together so they can do what they gotta do.
Did she feel like she was in a competition?
Probably.
Wow.
I don't know. This is 1800s, okay?
Yeah. I like picking it apart.
You just wait till we get to the end and her statements about her,
why her she actions. Did it.
So we were talking a second ago about, like, her wanting to, her constantly being talked down to when she was younger, reminded where she came from and where she could be if it wasn't for these tokens. And so this is probably her way of attempting to feel superior.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm.
During her work as a student nurse, she was loved by all the doctors. At one point, they're like, oh, this is my favorite nurse.
Because she's good at servitude.
Yes.
So she was probably like...
But she sucked at her job. I'll get into it.
You said that so...
Okay, so not only did she, like, do crazy shit, but she also sucked at her job, so she didn't do the things that nurses are supposed to do. Like, the cleaning portion all the time.
Oh.
Like, it's really fucking weird.
Oh.
So, she had this great thing, and everybody loved her, but there was always a moment where that would break, and she would get fired, or whatever. She would go as far as to falsify the patient's documents in order to keep them in her care longer. To build that rapport.
Oh, man.
Because she began experimenting with elderly patients.
Oh, my goodness.
To see how morphine and atropine would affect them.
I mean,
she would fuck with their doses. So this is an ongoing experiment that she had while she was a student nurse. So she seemed to enjoy it when they would either be knocked out or unconscious.
She would enjoy but when she would, the patient
love it when they would just, like, maybe not knocked out completely, but be conscious enough but not be able to move their bodies.
So, like, paralyzed, yeah. But there.
Yeah, so they can, they have awareness, but they can't do anything about it.
Oh my god, that's crazy. Okay.
And so, I'm just wondering how many of these poor people thought that they were having some crazy ass night terrors because she would do this to them.
Oh.
And logically thinking, you're at the hospital to be taken care of, not to be experimented on by some crazy ass nurse who has some superiority complex.
Whose name's Jolly Jane.
Jolly motherfucking Jane.
Looks like Miss Trenchbowl.
This is true, she does. So, I had this thought, like, about the whole night terror thing, and then there was at least one patient that remembers. So after everything came out and she recognized the picture in the newspaper or whatever, she actually told her story, and that was, after a procedure, one of Jane's patients recalled Jane giving her some bitter medicine, which we later find out is the atropine. And the morphine mixed together.
What's atropine?
I don't remember.
I know what morphine is.
Hold on a second. A prescription used to treat the symptoms of low heart rate.
Treat the symptoms of low heart rate.
It reduces salivation and bronchial secretions before surgery, or as an antidote for overdose of some kind of drugs and mushroom poisoning. I think she wanted to see, like, how much morphine she could give them, and then also how much atropine she could give them.
So they don't overdose. Die, okay, okay. But okay. That makes sense.
They get the effects that she's wanting.
Okay. So. Yeah. I was very confused, but now, no. You explained it good.
Totally fine. So, where is that? Here we are. So, she recalls Jane giving her some bitter medicine, and so she would mix the atropine and the morphine and whatever else she was using in mineral water, because it was already kind of a bitter thing, and it would kind of hide the taste of the medicines that she threw in there.
Yum.
Yeah. Shortly after taking the medicine, she passed out, but she recalls Jane climbing in her bed and kissing and caressing her.
Oh no. Mm-hmm.
The next day, she thought that it was just a really strange dream, because again, I'm here at the hospital for people to take care of me.
Why would this woman get on top of me and start
molesting me? That's a really strange fever dream.
Yes. So, essentially, she was roofing these people.
Yeah.
So, she was the first roofie.
You just wait. I don't think she was the first one, but I think she was just one of them that recalled that moment, and when Jane was later caught, she came forward and talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, we find out that she does this frequently with many of her dying patients. Like, she will give them the morphine, and she'll crawl into bed with them, and she will, like, caress them and essentially molest them. I don't know if she did anything, like, sexually caressing, or if it was just, like, her getting her mothering thing out, like, you know how when a sick kid is there with you, you kind of rock them and you whisper, oh, it'll be okay, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was more on that end, because I don't think it was a sexual
She was just getting that human interaction that she never got.
Maybe.
Weird, but okay.
Yeah, I don't think she got any sexual gratification out of it.
Yeah.
Could totally be wrong, and I probably am. But that's not how I read it in the articles and stuff.
Right.
Yahaa said that she sucked at her job. Jane was able to land a job at the Massachusetts General Hospital. That didn't last long. And it was because of poor job performance. Patients that would recall these weird little things that were going on would complain about her. But they didn't take it seriously because, again, it's Jolly Jane. Jolly Jane the fucking giant. That's what she is.
That's why they called her that.
Jolly Green Giant.
Jolly Jane.
And then she goes on to Cambridge Hospital. That, too, does not last long because she recklessly gave out opiates.
Again.
So they fucking knew. So, mismanagement of medications. So you'd think that that would be like one of those alarm bells going off. Maybe don't let her take care of other people that would have to have somebody to take care of them. No, no, no.
Because she's Jolly Jane.
They fucking loved her. So once she was fired from the Cambridge Hospital, she became a private nurse. Private sector where she would go to the houses and take care of the sick family members.
So much better.
And things like that. Which worked out for her better because she didn't have somebody constantly looking over her and her job performance and things like that. But what blew my mind even more was that these doctors were like, oh, your family member, this really elderly person, needs somebody to take care of them. Just call my girl Jane. She's my best nurse. Every fucking time.
Oh my gosh.
There's literally no telling how many people she actually killed. So she had little to no oversight, but had access to all the elderly people she could possibly want. Did I mention that she had really strange disdain for old people?
Mm-mm.
She did. It was bad. So she told multiple people, that there was no reason to have elderly people around.
Why?
She just thought they were useless. They just complained too much. They just didn't do anything. They brought nothing to society. She thought they were useless.
So that's like on, did you ever watch the show Dinosaurs? I'm the baby, gotta love me. So do you remember when the dinosaurs got too old?
They were tossing them into the volcano.
They were tossing them into the volcano.
I remember
watching
that episode.
What the fuck? Throwing the elderly into the volcano.
Yeah.
She was like, same. Yeah.
Essentially. Maybe that's where they got the idea from.
From Jolly Jane.
From Jolly fucking Jane.
Okay.
All right. So,
she has disdain for elderly.
She has a massive disdain for the elderly people. Okay. And said that they were useless to multiple people while at the hospital in earshot of the elderly people. One of the reasons that she got complained on so much, by the way.
So the doctors were like, yeah, fam, just go ahead and call Jane.
Yep. She's my girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no idea why. No clue. Because, yeah, they liked her at the beginning, but there was always that breaking point. Something always fucked up. And she lost her job. I don't know. So, she had that weird dual personality thing where
she was putting on,
when she was working, she was professional, likable, and just fan-fucking-tastic.
She was putting on a facade.
Yeah, she had that mask on.
And then she was her real self.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, again, they would refer to her as one of their best nurses. On the flip side, she was not very ladylike. She drank, she told dirty jokes, which, same. And, oh man. So, I love my random notes. I love them. I love them so much because I was like, she drank, she told dirty jokes and lied. Oh my. Sounds like me minus the line part. Anyway.
She was just a good storyteller, not a liar.
She was a fantastic storyteller. So at this point in her life, she was earning about $25 a week. when the average woman was earning $5.
Dang.
So she had worked her way up from literal poverty.
Yeah.
To this.
Mm-hmm.
She would be able to support herself and not have to rely on anybody. But that just wasn't enough for her. She didn't really discriminate on who she targeted or how close to the individual she was. So it could be like a friend, a landlord, anyone that got in her way. If it was an obstacle and she could remove that obstacle, she would fucking do it.
Mm.
So at some point, she had gotten close to her elderly landlord and his wife. After a while, she described them as feeble and fussy and old and cranky. And she fucking killed them.
Oh my gosh. How'd she do that?
By poisoning them with morphine.
So, I mean, back then they probably didn't regulate how much morphine they gave her.
Right.
She just had access to...
She had access to it. She fucking used it. Yeah. She's the reason that we can't get limited morphine.
I mean, yeah.
That sounds terrible. Anyway.
I don't know what you think about Sam.
You know what? No, in 1889, a 70-year-old woman named Mary McLear fell ill while in Cambridge. Her doctor sent her to one of his best nurses. Guess who it would be?
Jolly Jane!
Jolly fucking Jane! So, guess what happened to Miss McLear?
She died.
Mm-hmm. She was poisoned.
With morphine. So, back then, were they doing autopsies? No.
No. So, she targeted mainly older people.
Mm-hmm.
And the life expectancy at that time, it was kind of lower anyway.
Right.
So,
they just said natural causes.
They just assumed natural causes. But everybody, like, you could probably go through and watch Jane's movements and watch these fucking people drop like flies.
Mm-hmm. So how do we know now that it was morphine? Did she just confess to it? Is that how?
Yes, and there was an actual autopsy at the end. This is how she got caught.
Okay.
Sorry,
I'm skipping ahead.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. It gets really frustrating because you would think that at some point somebody would go, you know, the mortality rate for Jane's clients is much higher than every other nurse in town. We should probably look into that.
We should probably stop giving her morphine.
But no. So, a month or so after this woman, Miss McLear, passed away, Jane decided she wanted to be the dining hall matron at St. John's Theological School in Cambridge. But, you know, somebody else already had that job.
So she killed him.
Mm-hmm. But guess what? They were friends. They were fucking friends.
That's probably how she figured out she wanted the job.
Probably. Damn bitch. That's why I put...
That's a really good random word.
It really is.
So, was this a school, like, a college? Like,
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So she wanted this job, but her friend already had it. So there was a barrier to her goals. So she needed to fucking take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
She could have waited for her to retire, because that's a normal thing. But no, she used, what is this word? Straight? How did she say that? Bailey Sarian is amazing, by the way. She covered this. So she used strychnine to kill her friend. And amazingly, she got the job. But it wasn't like this person dropped dead and they, you know, did applications and the whole process. She fucking went to these people and was like, you should give me this job. I'd be great at it. And they fucking gave it to her. She could talk herself into fucking anything, apparently. Like, I wish I had that confidence. Minus the murdery bits.
When was she born?
54.
Did it say the month and day?
You can find out right here. March 31st.
She's fucking Aries.
So that's how you want to. So tell me, why does this make her an Aries? I need to know more because I don't know anything about fucking astrology at all.
So most serial killers, I'm pretty sure, are like Scorpios or Pisces, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I'll have to research it again because I was reading it. But like,
you were on Murder Talk, weren't you?
I was. But yeah, she was an Aries, so that's surprising. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, okay, so she was threatening to kill her friend. Mm-hmm. She got the job, but it was very strictly monitored, and she had reports, and she had people that were over her and everything.
Oh, she didn't like that, then.
No, she fucking failed so hard. Management received many complaints about her behavior in general and incompetence at this job. Again, this isn't like a nursing thing. It's the person over a dining hall. This isn't something she would normally do. Maybe. Right. No, she probably wouldn't even do that when she was working for the Topins.
But she just thought that she could do it.
She thought she could do it. She wanted it. She fucking killed to get it. She was gonna fucking do it, whether it was good or not. But, mm-hmm. So there was the complaints of incompetence and then also missing money. So she was possibly a thief.
But she was making, like, really good money.
She was making very good money. I don't know.
I'm just trying to figure out why she was stealing and she was making such good money.
Because she was also an alcoholic, apparently.
Oh, okay. So she was following in her daddy's footsteps.
She was
okay.
Not very ladylike. I remember she would drink and tell dirty, dirty jokes.
And she was probably
saying vagina.
She was probably, no, she probably said cunt. She was probably
a cuntosaurus.
Doing it just to do it because she could.
Yeah.
Because she's on this control.
Bullshit. Yes. Like, so at this point, you've already killed no telling how many people.
Oh, yeah.
At least two that we know of this point.
Probably.
Fucked with other people, giving them all sorts of random shit. And so, I don't know, maybe stealing just wasn't so bad. And she's like, oh, it's there. I'll just take it. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. She had killed at least four people at this point.
Yeah, she's...
Because
yeah.
The her friend.
Mm-hmm. The landlord and the
wife. The landlord and his wife. And mm-hmm. then the other random person that was referred to her.
Right.
Anyway, so...
Do you think she killed the mom? Her adopted mother?
I don't think so, because I don't think she would have had the access to it, maybe?
She just smothered her.
Or, I don't know. There was no report saying that she did, and she didn't fess up to it. We're gonna get into.
I keep getting you so sidetracked. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we're actually about to get into like the other family.
Okay.
Family drama.
I'll shut up.
No, you're totally fine. So she went back to the private sector after leaving this theological school. She got fired.
She got fired because she was stealing and all of that shit.
There were too many complaints and she went back to the private sector after that point and probably killed more people. Logic dictates that she absolutely killed more people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At some point during this time after her theological school dining hall attempt, she had invited her foster sister, Elizabeth, but foster sister / previous owner. I was feeling some type of way when I was writing this.
Previous owner.
Shit. Okay. Essentially, that's what she was. Alright, so anyway, foster sister, who was Elizabeth Topin at this point, Brigham, she invited her to go to a picnic, on the beach. And Elizabeth had talked to her about feeling kind of depressed and stuff like that. But I thought this was strange because I thought that since in the research it was like, oh, she left the house, she went and did her nursing thing. And that was just it. That's kind of, there's a huge gap. So I just assumed, like, she just cut off all ties. But that's not the case.
Right.
So apparently they had talked fairly frequently. They would send letters. And Elizabeth had mentioned that she was feeling kind of depressed. And so in 1899, she was invited to visit Jane and go on this lovely little picnic. On this picnic, Jane was nice enough to provide Elizabeth with cold corned beef sandwiches, taffy, and some mineral water, laced with strychnine.
Oh.
Yeah. This killed her, but it wasn't a quick death. Apparently, it was later described as being rather drawn out. As Jane later fondly recalls, I held her in my arms and watched with delight as she gasped her life out.
That is awful.
Yeah. So, she went on later to say that Elizabeth's death was the only murder that she did out of malice.
That is so sad.
Yeah. So, this confused me a little bit because they seem to have an okay relationship.
That's, there wasn't anything
crazy out of the ordinary with that. But I guess that doesn't really matter. But, as most deaths in Jane's life, that's kind of a means to an end. Because Jane really wanted to marry Elizabeth's widower, Orimel Brigham. She tried to woo him, but, you know, luckily for him, his sister caught on to whatever weird-ass vibe she was throwing off. Not so lucky for his sister. She was also a problem for Jane, and Jane did what Jane does best. She killed her to remove that lovely
obstacle
in her path.
So, killing her sister was the only one out of malice.
Mm-hmm. But also a means to an end.
But killing her friend for the job isn't out of malice?
No, it's just a logical progression for her. If she wanted this, she was an obstacle. That's fucking it. That was just a means to an end.
Yeah.
With Elizabeth, she wanted her to suffer.
Okay.
And then she used that suffering for her own attempted own gain.
Okay.
So, Ormel's sister felt very uncomfortable with her. Didn't like her being around very much, but whatever. His sister ended up getting sick and dying because of Jane.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want anything to do with her. But her ultimate goal was to have him fall madly in love with her and marry her. And they were going to have kids and they were going to live in this house. And everything was going to be fucking amazing.
And that's what Aries, Aries energy right there.
Aries energy. So in order to do that, she decided she was going to become the housekeeper to show that she's an amazing woman.
Mm-hmm.
Just caring and loving, and she's going to keep that house clean, right?
Mm-hmm. She just barges into his house, right?
Essentially. And is like,
I'm going to start cleaning now. Thank you.
Well, you see that there's another obstacle in her way at this point, because there's already a housekeeper, or a head housekeeper, or whatever.
Not for long.
Not for long, because, again, Jane does what Jane does best. She kills her. She murders the 77-year-old Edna Bannister. So now she's gotten rid of Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Ormel's sister, and now Edna, the housekeeper. All those pesky obstacles are just right out of the way. They just clear shot. He's gonna fucking love her. It doesn't happen. one thing she didn't count on was being turned down.
So it's like, he's a church deacon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, damn, who wouldn't want Jolly Jane? People drop around her like fucking flies, and she just, I don't know, like, who wouldn't want her with her stories and her saying vagina? I don't know if she ever said vagina, actually.
I thought we went over this. She said cunt.
She said cunt.
You cunt! Hit him with a hard T. See you next Tuesday.
So, he turned her down. So her next plan was to slightly poison him, just a tad bit, so she could nurse him back to health. Because apparently, you know, cleaning house wasn't enough. She needed to show that she could take care of him.
Like misery?
Yes. Yes.
Well, Jolly Jane, she's just a pioneer for all these horrible movies that we got.
This plan failed so fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
He, once again, denied her his dick.
no last, dick for you.
The last part was absolutely just like my brain went sideways.
So, oh my God. I may be a deacon, but you're not getting this deek. I'm gonna start saying that.
You know, maybe a deacon, but you can't. This deek.
Are you a deacon? Because I want that deek.
Oh, fuck. Please use that. Please start off a conversation that way and see what the fuck happens. I need
to. They're gonna be like, yeah, I'll be a deacon. I'll be a dick in your. Never mind. Okay.
Alright, so. Yeah, you can't have this dick.
Oh, man.
Being the manipulative cunt that she was, she threatened to tell people in town that he'd gotten her pregnant to force him into a relationship with her. He got pissed.
Yeah.
He got so pissed. He was obviously over her bullshit. So, she was forced to leave, and that was the end of that. I don't know how you have this insane plan in your head, and like, I'm gonna make it fucking happen, I'm gonna kill like 7 different fucking people, you're gonna fucking love me. And I just be like, okay.
So she didn't.
I guess she needs to know when to quit.
So she doesn't tell anybody that he got her pregnant?
No. Or at least, not that I could find. She may have. She may have been like, oh yes.
And then nobody believed him, or probably nobody believed her, because she's good at storytelling. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean...
just full of shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. At this point, like, I don't know. There are 3 people in this very short amount of time that drop dead, and then she tries this bullshit. Still, no, alarm bells are going off for anybody.
Which is insane.
Absolutely insane.
Everywhere she goes.
So... Jolly Jane was not very jolly about this whole being turned down thing. So she attempted, in the biggest air quotes there ever was, she attempted suicide. You'd think that somebody that knows how to kill people with morphine and whatever the fuck else she uses as a cocktail would get it right.
Mm.
Nah, bish. She went to the hospital and was able to fully recover because, you know, the nurses that took care of her actually took care of her, not right. Like the mob style take care. So it seems like she continued her private nursing career because why the fuck not? So there was this family, you know, this is kind of like abrupt change, but she ended up living in the same, I don't know, on their property somewhere. I don't know if it was like the... It seemed like they had, like, a hostel-type situation where they had people come and rent rooms and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they were a fairly influential family.
Okay.
The Davises were. She had an amazing rapport with these people, and she would even go to Cape Cod with them. Like, she would go on vacations with these people, and they would loan her money to get whatever medicines were needed to do whatever she needed to do for her clients. So she started racking up a little bit of debt here.
So were her clients in, like, the hostel?
Some of them.
Okay.
So the Davises seem to use her services, not only as a nurse, but also as a babysitter, apparently.
Okay.
Which, again, blows my fucking mind.
Well, it said that she was, like, good with kids and stuff.
She's fantastic with kids. Like, mm-hmm. these very influential people would get together with these other very influential people, and if they were going to, like, Cape Cod or something like that, and the people wanted to go out, they would leave Jane with the kids.
Well, kids are opposite of...
I guess they have people. Use.
Yes. Or does she kill them?
So...
No, we don't do child killings.
No, not child. As long as they're adults, she seems to want to attack. So, she started racking up a bit of a debt with them, and at some point...
Like, she owes them, or they owe her?
Oh, she owes them. Because, again, she would ask for money for whatever she needed for her nursing stuff. Especially if she was kind of as a...
So is she not making...
I'm trying to figure out how to fucking say this. No, I don't think she's doing the private sector the way she was previously.
So she's not making the money that she was before. Okay.
So she's making a lot less money. She's living on their property somewhere. And she's just kind of borrowing money for random stuff from the Davises.
Well, yeah. I mean, she'll just kill them so she don't have to pay them.
Yeah.
So she don't care.
She does. So in this family, there was Alden Davis, which was the father.
Mm-hmm.
His wife Maddie. They had two grown daughters, Minnie and Genevieve. So I told you about the debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they needed that money back.
Right.
She needed to start paying. Because I don't think she was paying rent regularly. Because she was doing certain services for them, like taking care of sickness and whatnot.
Watching kids, stuff like that. Yeah.
Fucking watching kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, his wife, Maddie, knocks on her door and says, hey, we need to talk about this debt. You know, we need you to start paying it back.
Bitch, where's my money?
But I have my money. So... this obviously wasn't in Jane's favor. So she invited Maddie in for a mineral water and added a little bit of morphine and atropine.
I'm never drinking mineral water ever again.
So Maddie got sick and died shortly after. So now that the Davis family was out without their matron, the one mm-hmm. who took care of every fucking thing,
right?
She was going to lend her services. She didn't want to marry Alden Davis. She just wanted to, like, be there.
She just wanted the money.
Pretty much. So, she was such a wonderful nurse. She came in and she took care of everybody, right? No. So, she began with poisoning Minnie. Yeah.
They're adults.
They're adults. They're adults, but...
I mean, still not.
Healthy. Fucking adults.
Right.
So, she poisoned her, but it wasn't like an instant death or even like a crazy couple of hours kind of death. It was, she lived for about a week. She kept her in a coma for a week.
So, she kept giving her the water.
Mm-hmm. She had access to needles and she would use them sometimes, but mostly if people were able to drink, she'd just give them some fucking mineral water mixed with whatever fucking cocktail she had.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
So then Genevieve was murdered by poisoning. Hers was quicker. Hers was within like a couple of days. Like, it wasn't a drawn out, a week long event. So this was between the time that she poisoned Maddie. She stays alive for a week. She poisons Genevieve.
Minnie.
Maddie's the mother, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So she poisons Minnie, mm-hmm. and she's in a coma for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But before Minnie dies, she poisons Genevieve. She dies very quickly. And then she fucking poisons Alden. And then she allows Minnie to die.
Mm.
So I don't understand why she chose to go after the two healthy daughters, other than possibly they would have caused a fuss because their parents died and they were relatively healthy. They were mm-hmm. older, but they were relatively healthy.
Right.
These deaths gets her caught. I mean, there's four fucking people in this one family that just fucking dies.
The sister-in-law.
Yeah.
And the housemaid or whatever. That didn't clue them in.
No. You know why? Because Minnie had a fucking awesome father-in-law.
Oh, Minnie was married.
Minnie was married. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that her husband had gone to, like, a war or something.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the military or mm-hmm. something like that. So he wasn't there. So she lived with her parents.
Right.
So, at some point during the week of Minnie's mysterious illness, her father-in-law came and visited to just check on everybody, make sure everybody was good. So he went to visit Minnie, who was in her room, and the door was cracked. Well, he saw Jane standing over her with a syringe.
Injecting
and just
her.
Watching her. Yeah, and he watched. He watched her. And Jane stood there for a little bit watching Minnie. Which, again... apparently not that odd because back then, and still to this day, they have more monitors now.
Yeah.
But back then, they would, nurses would give injections, but they would sit there and watch them a little bit to make sure that
they didn't
there
have
was no adverse reaction or anything like that.
Right.
He didn't really think much of it at that time, but then after the whole family died, he contacted a toxicologist and was like, these deaths are not natural. These girls were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some sort of test done.
Why didn't the police do that?
I don't know. 1900? That's going to be my excuse.
But if the father-in-law is smart enough to...
contact a toxicologist? Oh,
why
yeah.
Why is the police not smart enough to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. Because apparently, you know, Jane was this loved, respected woman who took care of everybody in town or whatever. And she wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, with a bit of teamwork with the toxicologist, they finally were able to convince a judge to exhume Minnie's body. Because, again, she was a relatively healthy, strong woman who really shouldn't have died at that time. So, after testing, after doing the autopsy and testing their blood and everything, it was determined that she had high levels of morphine and atropine in her system.
And why would she have that in her system?
And was likely the cause of her death. So... alarm bells now go off for the police to start looking into it. Detectives arrest Jane on October 29th, 1901. She went to trial for the murders of the Davis sisters in the summer of 1902. And during the trial, she wore a nurse's outfit to pull some type of sympathy or disbelief from the jurors, thinking, oh, she's a sweet little nurse. Because at this point, she was an older woman.
That's what I was looking at. How old was she? She was almost...
she was in her 60s.
Okay. Yeah.
Sweet little lady didn't in her little nurse's outfit to be like, oh, she didn't do this. She takes care of people. The trial took 8 hours.
She was 47.
Really?
Yeah.
47. No.
You said 1901, right? Is when she got caught? She was born in 54? Yes.
Maybe. Fuck no.
Yeah, so she was only 47. She was only...
oh, I was looking at 1938 when I said 60s.
Oh, okay.
That's when she died in 1938, and she was 84 at the time.
Oh, so they didn't, like, guillotine her?
Oh, no. No. So.
Sorry. I'm, like, really bad about interrupting tonight. I don't know why. Okay.
You're fine. I like it. Interaction.
I'm, like, super questioning today. I don't know.
It's fine. Anyway, so the trial took 8 hours. And the jury deliberated for only 27 minutes.
Yeah.
She was found not guilty.
No.
By reason of insanity.
That is just disappointing.
She was sent to the state hospital and stayed there until her death in 1938.
So she stayed there from 47 to 84.
Yeah. It looks like she didn't confess to any of the murders until after her conviction. And after some poking and prodding from a psychiatrist... she confessed to killing around 12 people, but maybe more. Then she told another person, or another psychiatrist, that she killed 31, but maybe as many as 100.
Well, she's a good storyteller.
She's a fan-fucking-tastic storyteller.
There's really no telling how many she actually killed.
No. So we know of certain ones, especially the Davis family. And she was only convicted for the sisters' murders, by the way.
Why?
I don't think they exhumed Alden and his wife's bodies to test them.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. 1900s?
We were born in the 1900s.
I hate you.
Just thought you should know that.
I hate you so much. So she could have killed anywhere from 12 to 31 to 100 people. I mean, those are really close numbers.
you
get them mixed up so easily. But in reality, she probably just couldn't remember. Because not all of the deaths... she could have caused many more deaths that mm-hmm. she didn't really know
right.
about because of her fucking around with her medication.
Right.
So they could have died later because of... I don't know, they went into surgery after she fucked with them.
Mm-hmm.
So... she claimed to start her killing spree when she was 16.
What'd she do when she was 16?
I It doesn't specify.
It doesn't say?
No, no. So she was dumped after being promised that they were going to get married. And he ended up moving to another city in Massachusetts and fell in love with another woman.
I mean, she did have a rough start. But she first killed when she was 16. I wonder what she did.
I don't know. But also, this seems like one of those stories that she would tell you.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So, Jane later stated, If I had been a married woman, I probably would not have killed all those people. I would have had my husband, children, and my home to take up my mind.
Until her husband pissed her off.
The fucking audacity of this woman. The fucking audacity. I don't... I'm really happy she didn't actually have a family.
Yeah.
Because, again, her husband would do something or say something, she'd get real pissed off and she'd murder every fucking body.
Well, I don't know if she'd murder the kids.
I'd say she probably would.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, if the Davises had smaller children, she probably would have killed them.
I don't know. She probably would have became their guardian.
Oh, yeah.
And... well, I have to take care of these kids, so I have to live in this house, and I have to get all their money so I can take care of the kids.
A little bit of irony here. When Jane first arrived at the hospital, she refused to eat the food that was given to her because she was afraid it was fucking poisoned.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be afraid, too.
Oh. And then some of the attendants would talk about, in general, like the things that she would say. So some of the attendants said that she showed no remorse, and in fact, someone at the hospital recalled her calling them into her room, smiling, and being like, "Get some morphine, dearie, and we'll go out in the ward. You and I will have a lot of fun seeing them die."
Oh my gosh. That is creepy.
That's fucking terrifying.
That is awful.
So that concludes my story of Jolly fucking Jane Topin.
I want to have nightmares, Sam.
I'm sorry.
Freaking nightmares. Of Jolly Jane.
Just remember, if you're getting some weird vibes from somebody, just fucking say, fuck off.
Yeah. Why'd you have to be a fucking Aries, Jane? So I was going to say something, and now I can't really say.
I don't know.
It was about Jolly Jane.
Jolly fucking Jane. Ooh, we could write a jingle for
Jolly fucking Jane does not deserve a fucking jingle. She's a see you next Tuesday.
She's a cunt.
With a hard T.
A cuntosaurus.
No, I really...
That's my favorite thing to say about somebody when I get real pissed off.
I thought it was a twatosaurus.
No, it's twatopus or twatopotamus. Oh. If you'd like to reach out to us with any questions, suggest a case, or tell us your true crime or spooky stories, you can reach out to us at
m3, now that's the number 3, truecrimepod@gmail.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at m3, Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem.
Thanks for listening to our dumbasses.
Have a fan-fucking-tastic week.
Bye!